Reading out of the New Living Translation of the Bible, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Millie, do you want to say a quick prayer, hon, over the word tonight?
Father, we just thank you for your word, Father, for your word is truth, Father. And as this seed of your truth is planted in us, help us, Father, to put it to use, Father, that it becomes part of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Who can finish this verse? Man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. Every word. Dear friends, I was with you. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Philippi. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Amen. I want to say to everybody that's truly born again that God, there's an experience that happens to that person. And the Holy Spirit comes and mingles with your spirit, and it causes you to be born again. And I remember the moment that I was born again many years ago. And I hope that you do also. And I remember tried to do what I was supposed to do. And if you want to be born again. And if you're fine just the way you are, well, just keep listening and coming. Because the word says this in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person hears my voice and then opens up, I'll come into them. What a wonderful promise. That promises to every person that ever drew breath. And salvation is a miracle. I cannot really define it any more than I can define the natural birth that a woman has when she has a baby. And let me say that men cannot have babies. So don't be confused just because the rest of the world is confused. Is everybody reading me? Yeah. God knows what he's doing. Psalm 24:1 says that the earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. And every person, we all belong to God. What does that mean to us? Whatever he says, that's the way it is. In my life, as I heard the scripture, taste of the Lord and see that he's good, I have tasted of the Lord. And in my life, I just see that he's good. He's not just fair. He's merciful. To be merciful goes beyond doing what's right or wrong and what you deserve. He doesn't give us what we deserve if we'll call out to him and say, look, I need your help. I've run up a tab. I can't meet it. And I want to say that to you. God will save you if you want to be saved. Everybody in here may be saved. I don't know. I don't even pretend to know. But I like the word here. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In fact, I think I'm just going to read those in the King James, which is what I'm more used to. But as I read these verses today, it just seemed to open up more in the NLT. But it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And what that literally means is this. Take your life and your salvation sincerely. You will not come back as a rabbit. You will not come back at all. We're just here one time. In the book of Ecclesiastes says this, and bless God, if I can find it, I'm going to read some of it because it just reads so well. In the book of Ecclesiastes, now I was told to hurry up and be done at 8 o'clock. I was 2 minutes late, and I'm not going to mention the person that rebuked me for that, but it wasn't my daughter. Here's what the word says. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 in the King James language says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. We are made in the image of God. In the book of John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit. So man is a spirit. We're created in the image of God. We have powers and graces above the other life on this earth. So there it is. When you die, your body returns to the earth, ashes, however. Is there anything wrong with being cremated? I don't think so, personally. But you might have a different view, and I'll respect that. How many of you think it's a sin to be cremated? I don't either. I just think it's just... But I've heard that. How many of you heard, oh, you don't want to do that? That's a sin. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Well, let's be the church that doesn't believe that. That doesn't believe that we're sin. You know, some people can only afford a cremation. Some people don't want to spend the extra money, even if they can afford it. I haven't made up my mind, Kelly. If I leave something somewhere, just do whatever you... Put me over in a ditch for all I care. Really. You know, while I am thinking of this, and I mean this with all gravity and sincerity, a dear friend of Millie and myself, Jesse Shamlin, passed away on Saturday night. And let's just remember her and her family. The visitation is tomorrow between 5 and 7. The funeral is 2 p.m. In the Roller Chapel. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, get everything at once, all the everything that we need to get. But work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In my note here, I put, work out your salvation like it's important. You know, it's important. If the gospel is true, and if we were created by God, if the earth belongs to the Lord, and if there's life after death, man, Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. Amen. We sure don't want to do that. You know, I was thinking of some kind of a example of how important it is to be serious about your salvation. And one of the things I could think of is I had four daughters, and I raised Evan, my grandson. And I don't remember, but Evan, I think he took the test 3, 4, 5 times. I don't know how many times. Do you remember, Millie? Took it a lot of times. But you know what finally happened to him? He finally said to himself, this is serious. I'm going to have to get a little bit serious about this. I'm going to have to study. And all of a sudden, those pages had Evan fingerprints on them of that study book. And he finally went, bless God, passed the written and passed the driving because it was important. I want to say to you, if there is a God, there's nothing more important than whether or not you're saved. Amen. Yes, amen. And so, please, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you are born again, then there has to be a difference, a change. As before you were saved, Mary, was there a change in your life? A notable change that you can still remember. All of a sudden, there was something on the inside of you telling you that there's a God and that he's good and telling you there's some no-nos that we shouldn't be doing. Yeah. And there's things that we should be doing. We should be about the Lord's business because as we look in both the Old and the New Testament, our righteousness is wrapped up in believing God and his promises. God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. The word said Abraham never batted an eye. He just believed God. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. Righteousness. That's what true righteousness is to believe God and to do things the way God tells us to do them. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need to be interested in Jesus, who is not just our Savior, but our High Priest and our Forgiver. Before I knew Christ, I didn't have anybody to process my sin. When I got saved, I had somebody that could process my sin and begin to take away the ill effects of that sin. But I had to believe that, and I had to know of him and learn of him as being my Savior and my Forgiver. And communion is designed that we might remember God is here to love us and to forgive us. Communion is open communion. If it's done right in any translation or denomination, you examine your heart, as we do. And then if there's fault in your heart, you confess that fault to your high priest, to your Savior. And then you just get up and you believe that he has forgiven you. That's what it's all about. Jesus is a wonderful person. Taste of the Lord and see that he's good. He's the kindest soul that I know. He's been so good to me. And many times he did not give me what I deserve, but he gave me out of the richness of his kindness and mercy towards me. Now, if God the Father will correct us at times, I mean, if we just won't have it any other way, if he'll correct us, then there's a chance that we'll turn, and then we won't have to be lost with those that are not with Christ. The Word of God says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is what it takes to successfully be in this life. And the Word also says, by the fear of the Lord, people depart from evil. By the reckoning of this one thing, think about this just for a moment. There were people that were here 7 days ago that are not here now, all over the world. And now, whatever they did with the time that they had here, I pray that everyone made it to heaven. Because if there's surely a heaven, there's surely a lake of fire. There are five prisons spoken of in the Bible. The final resting place is the lake of fire. For every demon, every fallen angel, and every person that kept saying from their heart, nope, 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 it's not for me, nope, nope. What all I can implore each of you is to say, what if this is true? What if there really is a heaven? Then there is a lake of fire. What if that's the truth? What if we have something more to gain here, more than what we can find by our five senses, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Jesus said, God said to Adam, come here. Every tree in this garden you can eat of. The tree of life was in there too. He said, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And they ate, and suddenly, for the first time in their existence, they knew they were naked. They took fig trees, fig leaves, put them on, covered themselves up. And when they heard the Lord coming in the cool of the day, they ran away and hid from him. He finally found them and said, what's going on? He said, well, we knew that we were naked, so we covered ourselves up and we kind of ran and hid. And he said, well, who told you? See, who told you you were naked? Well, Satan did. They were put in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to keep up with all the plants and everything that was in there, and to guard it from Satan and other undesirables, to keep them out. They had the power to do both. They were anointed by God to do both. And they failed. And that failure, we have Adam and Eve's DNA, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person that's born, when you're born into this life, on the day of your birth, you are in need of a Savior. You are in need of salvation. Every person. A person can't say, well, I don't need that. I'm this. I'm a pretty good person. Well, it's not whether or not you're a pretty good person. It's whether or not you're born again. That's just the truth that we have to reckon with and understand. What if that's true? That's all I'm saying. So God is working in you. If you're born again, ask yourself, don't raise your hand. Are you born again? Are you born again? Have you had that experience, that life-changing experience? If you have, you're on your way. Then no matter what happens when you leave here and get out in the parking lot and get in your car, it doesn't really matter if you're born again. But if you're not, it matters a lot. And I'm not going to give an invitation for people to be saved tonight. But if you want to be saved, you can come and whisper in my ear or some of the other leaders in here. We'll help you. But we didn't come here to browbeat you, but to tell you the uplifting truth about the Lord. And even this subject of working out your salvation with fear and trembling, it is good stuff. It is good that God wants you to work out your salvation. Salvation cannot stand still. True Bible salvation is progressive, and you grow in your salvation. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Protestant, whether you're Assembly or Pentecostal or Baptist, there's good in all of those. And anybody that goes to those churches and they get some good out and they can have a peace and they feel like that's where God put them, that's a good thing. I want to say something about Paris Christian Center. We do not and never have had any problem with any other denomination. Have we, Mary? You've been here forever and ever. Then there's your buddy back there. Have we ever had trouble with any of them? No, we haven't. We're oblivious to those things. If you're comfortable there, that's where you should be, those kind of churches. The difference in this church is this. All faiths are welcome here. Without us, trying to jack you around about that. It's just that simple. We just love you. And we know that you're wonderfully and fearfully made by God. Now, years ago, there was an older fella from a different denomination. He said, no, you're a denomination. I said, no, we're not. He kept saying it, and I kept saying, no, we're not. Finally, I let the old fella have the last word. But we're not. We're not the same. We're interdenominational. And what that means is all faiths are welcome here without us trying to change whatever else is inside of you. You're just welcome. We don't own you. When you come here, we will try to feed you food and the word and love and forgiveness. But nobody owns you. Always remember that. And go where you're comfortable. How many of you feel pretty comfortable in this church? Amen. Amen. Good. We're glad of that. We don't care. You know, I was, many years ago, I was in the, I went to Catholic school. I was baptized first Catholic. And they couldn't handle me. They would take me to the priest. They said, put your hand out. And he had a yardstick that was about 6 feet long. And he got me a couple of times with that. And then I went into his office. He said, put your hand out. And I said, no, you put your hand out. I said, I'm not putting mine out anymore. I've had it with that. I was 6 years old. That's the truth. I had all of that putting my hand out there. In fact, if I thought I could have got away with getting that yardstick away from him, I would have whooped the fire out of him with it or tried to. Dear God in heaven, how can you have a good idea about school when they're doing that? Put your hand out. But the word says this, and my try to teaching tonight is try to. Because some days I do better than others at working out my salvation. So my word is, and feel comfortable with it, because this is just the truth. I'm a preacher. I got saved when I was 19. I did some of my best sinning after I got saved. I was just a kid. But I found a Savior. I found somebody that would forgive me. I found somebody that would be patient with me. I found somebody that would unconditionally love me and take time with me. I spent many years of my life trying to find a father figure. And then one day I just woke up and realized, man, I've got the best father figure in the whole world. It's the Lord God. And when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. And anything that you ask the Father in my name, Jesus, it's going to be done for you. And I begin to believe that as best as I could. And I begin to practice that. I begin to find the 75, 7600 promises to mankind that are found in the Bible. And I've never found a flaw. I've found I could do and have whatever I could believe God for. And that's what we want for you. I am 70 years old. And for 70, I was just telling somebody over there, I forgot who it was. The Alzheimer Express is trying to catch up with me, but I'm trying to stay ahead of that. I said, I feel great for 70 years old. I really do. Me and Sherry's dad, we go out in the woods at night with dogs and guns and kill animals. Now, if you're an animal lover, retract that. I'm going to retract that. But we're hunters. We're coon, possum, and house cat hunters. Anything that goes up in the tree, out in the woods, God is good. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, buddy, you're doing such a great, 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 great job. The Word of God says something about Jesus and what he's doing here. Well, we know he died for our sins, but the Word says this here. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. For this cause, in the King James language, was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All of the works, all of the cruel, terrible, twisted things that he does through mankind. And many people are hurting, probably hurting in this audience here, if you can hear me. But God loves you. And for this cause, Jesus was brought to this earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil. As born-again people, we learn to reject evil and to embrace good. I have never met one person that was changed overnight. It just doesn't work like that. Keep coming back, because it works if you work it. And it won't if you don't, and you're worth it. So keep coming back. Keep learning. Keep enjoying yourself. Get some free fruit from us. Get some free advice from us. Get some free love from us, because we love you. For this cause was the Son of Man brought to earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You would put up Galatians 5, 19 through 21 in the new NLT. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look here at some of the things that the Word of God is talking about. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I told you before, that anyone living that sort of a life, now what does that mean? If you're practicing that life and you just can't wait to get in trouble again, and you're not fighting against these things, the Word of God says this here: you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what any other religion says, you can't be practicing evil. Go to heaven. If you could, I'd tell you, you would. I have enough trouble with sin. And on my good days, I fight and win. On my bad days, I have to ask God for forgiveness. Whether you've had a good day or a good week or bad, in just a moment, we're going to take communion, and we're going to give you an opportunity to examine your heart with the Lord privately. We don't want to know. We love you, and we respect you. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. But when your life is, when you're born again, and your life is full of the Spirit of God, if you're born again, that happens to you. Your life gets full of that, and then you learn how to develop and to practice Christianity and kindness. The Word says this here: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy. You know, many people that I see, that every time I see them, they're depressed, they're unhappy, they've got problems. Do you know people like that? It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. Some people are just so messed up by the devil. But the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against those things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. If Jesus comes into your heart, and he'll come to anybody's heart that wants him, you will begin to change from the inside out. It's just what he does, because he'll begin to love you from the inside out. He can't even do that without your permission. Now, he sent his son that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But the truth of the matter is, the choice is yours. The kingdom of God in both testaments of the whole Bible is full of your choices. What are you going to decide to do? Because it would have been nice if I just could have been instantly changed and I could no longer sin. But I can tell you one thing. I could still sin. It just didn't feel as good, does it? It just feels different when you let God down, when you're a child of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against those things. Because see, he who the Son set free is free indeed. He came to set you free, that you would just practice those things instead of the other things. Now the last place I want to turn to tonight is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Well, Angelo, I don't know if I could. I mean, how do you? I don't know if I can live for God. What reference would you give me? Study the life of Jesus in the four Gospels. Study the way he fed people and forgave people and gave his life for people. He gave for everybody. He was the sinless Son of God, and he gave his life for us. Thank you for hearing my word tonight. It came from my heart. It's been on my heart for a while, and I'm going to say this. We're about to take communion. You can take it if you want. You don't have to take it if you don't want. My suggestion is this. Find an altar on your seat at the front of the church. Examine your heart, because that's what the Bible says. And if there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there, ask God to take it away. And then we're going to take communion. It won't take but a couple of minutes.